Hi, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Pantheon Network.
We're rock and rollers at heart here at the Prisoners of Rock and Roll, but we both have a soft spot for Christmas music. In our annual Christmas episode, we decided to hop into a one-horse open sleigh and take a trip down memory lane to the classic Christmas songs of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. These are the songs we opened our presents to as kids, and many of them are from artists who were enormously popular at the time, but we really only hear around the holidays this time of year. So grab some punch and settle in as we're having a classy, classic Christmas.
Telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town.
Say, Perry, somebody's ringing the front doorbell. Shall I answer it?
Oh, tell him to go away, Helen. We've got to decorate this Christmas
tree. Where do I connect the lights, Perry?
Artie, all you have to do is put the thing in a plug.
Hey, Perry, I can't find a train switch. Know where it is?
Bobby, the train switch is always where it's always
been.
Hey,
Perry, what do you want for Christmas? Now, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going out to give a few haircuts. You guys go ahead and sing. I'll be right back.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not...
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Prisoners of Rock and Roll, episode number 75. My name is Bruce Kramer, and I'm sitting by the Yule log tonight with my very good friend and my co-host, straight from the island of Misfit Toys, Santa's little helper, the little drummer boy himself, Ryan McCusker.
Are you rocking around the Christmas tree?
Nice. Prisoners of Rock and Roll is part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, and our show is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks and McCusker's Tavern in Philadelphia. What's going on, brother? Our fourth Christmas episode.
I know. I'm having a cool Yule, man.
Right on, dude.
It's very festive around the bar. All the lights are up, you know. Everything looks good. I love the holidays. I love South Philadelphia during Christmas. There's a lot of neighbors who get involved putting lights up and putting little... how can you say, themes to their windows. It's very cool.
Yeah, dude, I know there's a couple streets down by you where, like, people put lights across the street, like, from one side of the row homes to the other, and it looks very cool, and you're broadcasting from your by your tree and got your train set, and you're all ready to go.
I am. I'm taking all forces go for Christmas, you know. I'm really trying this year to enjoy it.
Right on, man.
It's all about giving, and it's all about love, man. I don't know.
Yeah, dude. I got a Christmas beer. I'm using my Prisoners of Rock and Roll pint glass that the warden gave me for Christmas a couple of years ago, and we didn't have our trademark attorney sue him for making rip-off merchandise with our logos on it, but he gave me – I was at a Christmas party last weekend at a friend's house, and Rob gave me some Christmas beer, so I'm having one of those. And I agree, dude. You know what? Today, man, it worked. We do a thing where, like, each floor of our building, we adopt some families for Christmas, and we give them all kinds of gifts, and I was – letting everybody use my truck today because I was bringing I brought like six bikes up into the office today for us to donate to these families that don't have anything. And we go all out. We give these families like here's a $500 ShopRite gift card so you can go have a really nice Christmas dinner. We give them like a tree. If the kids want a PS5, we get them a PS5. Like we go all out. It's really, really cool.
I mean, their reaction must be unreal.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. It's one of my favorite times of year when, like, all the gifts and stuff are coming back into the office. And yeah, it's cool to be a part of. And so I was driving all over New Jersey today, picking up bikes and bringing them in the office. It was cool. And then I was riding one of the bikes like through the hallway of the office, like a clown today. But we had a good time.
Yeah, all the CEOs are like, who is this guy?
Yeah, right.
Oh, by the way, he's got a podcast. right. World famous.
I also do need to stop over to the bar one day next week when you're there, or maybe when you're not there, because I do have something small I got to drop off at your house, and it's not just the Hershey's chocolate I picked up for you a couple weeks ago.
I've been thinking about that chocolate.
I'll get it to you before Christmas, man.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, dude. I'll come in one afternoon when you're working, or I'll come in and just leave it. And I don't know. I'll write something on the box so nobody eats all the chocolate.
Nobody
put like green beans or something.
Yes. Hide that shit.
So it's our fourth annual Christmas episode, which I still just blows my mind. But
yes.
We've done a little bit of everything. We did some rocking Christmas. We did music that stinks. We had a Christmas party. And you had the great idea And you've just been crushing it this week. This whole year, man. You come up with the show ideas and you were like, let's just do a classy, classic Christmas.
Yes. I mean, I don't feel like goofing around this year. I really truly feel like getting the spirit. And these original recordings of these songs are amazing. Like, there's like 15 Christmas songs and everybody records them. You know what I mean? There's like thousands of versions of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's endless.
I agree. And as I said in the monologue, I mean, these are the songs that you grew up with. And I don't know, man. I feel like I'm a grumpy old man. Like, I was listening to the Christmas station. I listen to Christmas music. I start before Black Friday these days.
Right, right.
But I was listening to like Holly on Sirius XM and there was like contemporary versions of songs. And I was kind of like, a lot of this stuff I don't really like.
Yeah. There's a lot of Christmas music I do not like. And I really don't like the new generation of Christmas music. Like, I know we like to have fun and listen to like the Christmas rock and Christmas music and like that. But a lot of it's really dumb and stupid, you know, like, especially what's the most popular Christmas song in the last 20 years.
That Mariah Carey song.
Exactly. She's playing Philadelphia tonight.
She's playing like the Wells Fargo Center, right?
Yeah, she's got like a Christmas show happening.
Yeah. And how much money she makes off of that. I was reading some stuff about it today. Like, she doesn't really need to do anything else. She's making so much money off of that every year in the royalties. But this stuff it's just timeless. And it's, as you said, it's classy. And it's amazing, like, just reading about some of these artists, how huge they were in the 50s. And they're just guys that, like, you don't know. Like, we were just playing Perry Como. You know, and I pulled up his Wikipedia page while it was playing. He's like, a dude sold 100 million records. I couldn't name one song by Perry Como outside of his Christmas stuff.
I always knew who he was. I remember him, his category, you know, but I couldn't tell you any of the songs. I bet I've heard a billion of them.
Right.
I just can't think of one.
And a lot of these artists, just as the, as music, the music industry evolved, and these guys, like, you, they only surface again at Christmas time. You know, Bing Crosby was one of the biggest stars in the world. Like, well, we'll go through the whole list, but so many of these guys, you're like, oh my God, how many tens of millions of records did so many of these people sell? And they really only come back. They surface up again now around Christmas time.
They're like the only things that survived their career is the Christmas songs.
Even somebody like Sinatra, it's like, I'm sure a lot of people just know his Christmas stuff without really knowing a whole lot about his discography. And, you know, he's probably the most famous out of all these like crooners who still, you know, people recognize.
Like Frank Sinatra, like I was thinking about this week. I mean, he is such a great musician and he does not get the, I don't know, that credit for being a musician. It's more being known for being a crooner, you know? But he has he has that one Christmas album that's dynamite.
Yeah, and we talked about him a lot when we did the Rat Pack episode, just how much he did for just tearing down racial barriers.
Frank is a classic. He's definitely Christmassy. Let's hear Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
This is like the pinnacle of the classy Christmas songs, man. This is off of A Jolly Christmas from Frank Sinatra, 1957. Here you go.
Our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
God, I love that song, man. That is my favorite Christmas song.
I like that a lot, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bridge in there. It's heartbreaking. It's he is such a great voice and musician, as I was saying.
The pitch of his voice is just so perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ringing a bell.
It's flawless.
It really is.
It's one of a kind. It's been often imitated, but never actually being Blue Eyes, you know?
He's probably the guy out of all the crooners that I have listened to the most over the years, and I'm still just in awe of his voice, just how, you know, and I tend to like people with interesting sounding voices, and a lot of people like gravelly voices or deep voice, and his is just the tone is just, like you said, flawless is the perfect way to describe it.
My favorite Rat Packer is Dean Martin. He was just a funny guy. He had more personality. He was just really funny. He wasn't the better singer out of him than Sinatra. I think Sinatra is the better singer, but Dino had a better personality. This song's controversial, man.
Yeah, we still hung up about that.
I don't know. Let's play a little bit of it.
But baby, it's cold outside. Got to go. But baby, it's cold outside. This evening has been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice. Beautiful, what's your hurry? Listen to the fireplace roar. Beautiful, please don't hurry. Put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
I love that song. I don't know why it's kind of, I don't know, man. People are lame. But like, this is my argument with it. Okay, they find that offensive. You know what I find offensive? Is Santa Baby. That is like a gold digger song. Like, how can, you know, the Dean Martin song be controversial and like that? But then on the other side, we're going to have this Santa Baby saying, you know, I'm going to have sex appeal so I get presents, like a gold digger. And that's not offensive? Come on.
I totally agree with you, dude. The Baby It's Cold Outside, I didn't understand the we're going to cancel it now because of the Me Too movement. But yet it was still re-recorded, like John Legend did it and a couple other guys, and I just don't like that version of it. I don't know, man. It's funny, the song, and yeah, it's the way it's written when they're singing over top
it's
of each
Dean
other.
It's Dean Martin. It's up and down the street. He's like, hey, just stay, have a cocktail. He was just like that playboy kind of smooth kind of guy. And I guess those guys turned into creeps later
I
in
guess,
life.
I guess, you know? So, like, man. But
like society sees them as like creeps. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, but you can, you want to deconstruct the lyrics and like, is it rapey? Is it not? It was like, dude, it's a Christmas song. And you're right. Dean Martin had that playboy attitude. It's just a great tune. So many of his Christmas songs are just, they're fantastic. And I hate that Santa Baby song. I don't like Eartha Kitt's version. I hate Madonna's version. I don't like Madonna.
I hate Madonna's version. That's what made me start thinking about the song. It's like, how is this not, how is the women rights movement not offended by this song? Let's play a little bit of it.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa Baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you.
I like that version better than the other version. The Madonna version just sucks.
Madonna tends to go through these periods where she suddenly has an accent, and she has, you know, she's trying to do something. She's got like a fake British accent sometimes, and
I think she was using the dumb blonde fucking voice that she did in Who's That Girl movie.
Yeah, I don't like Madonna at all. She's not that far below Kate Bush in my opinion, but I will say with the Santa Baby song, the original, I mean, that song came out in 1953. That is rather provocative for the 50s.
Definitely.
Yeah, when you got wholesome family entertainment, and then she's singing, you know, you're right, she's trying to use her sex appeal to get Santa to give her stuff. And I'm the same way with you, dude, when it's like, you're just a gold digger, and I don't like that song.
But I just always thought about it when, you know, Baby It's Cold Outside came up in conversation and I at the bar, and I always throw in Santa Baby in there. I'm like, well, what about this song? and everybody shuts up.
That's right. Right. You're a professional. You know what you're talking about.
I have my own show.
Right.
We have a show.
Hey, you're a professional music commentator, sir.
Socialites.
Yes. We're socialites. I was like, I saw that. I'll cut this out. But I saw that like Snoop Dogg has a Christmas album. I was like, how the fuck do I have like a music podcast? And I never heard that he had his.
Yeah.
How did he escape all the like the bad Christmas stuff that we did the one year?
The kid that has a barbershop down the street has in his window has like Elf on the Shelf, but it's like Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. Let's keep rolling, man. What else can we talk about?
Let's hear. Christmas is not nothing without Nat King Cole, you know, and he does. God rest you, gentlemen. Is that the title?
Yeah, he is another one, dude, where his voice is just like it's like ringing a church bell. It's just butter. Perfect. Yeah.
Let's play it.
Comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
He was so talented, man.
I think I like his voices a little better than Sinatra's. That might be blasphemy, but
No, I don't think so. It's, you know, maybe he would have gave Frank a run for his money if he stuck around.
Yeah, he died. He was like in his mid 40s. He died of the complication. He had lung cancer. He was a big smoker.
A hardcore smoker. Yeah.
Yeah. And which is amazing. His voice was still that. I guess there is a little bit of smokiness to his voice, but it's not gravelly like John Mellencamp now sounds like he eats cigarettes every day. But
I mean, Nat King Cole is like, his voice is so clear. You would never think he was a smoker, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. I was reading a little bit about him, too, because I was like, I didn't know a whole lot about him. And I was reading how he he dropped out of high school to become a musician. And he was actually the first black person in America to host a radio show. So he's like,
wow.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's another interesting thing about like a lot of these guys. They did so many other things. They were like multimedia stars in like the 50s. Like, you know, a lot of them did like TV and movies and acting, radio and stuff. Really, really interesting.
You had to do it all back then.
Yeah, I guess you know? So. Right.
Even like you see like all these old actors, they dance, they sing, they act, you know, it's like a triple threat with these guys, like all these old movies. Like I was watching White Christmas this week. And the choreographing and singing at the same time is unbelievable. Like the effort that it takes to do all that.
That's a good point. You don't hear a lot of, I guess there are still some singers today that try to cross over into acting, but there's not a lot of like dancing. You know, I mean, of course there's a couple musicals here and there, but you know, I'm trying to think of actors that like cross over and still do like a decent job. Is like Harry Connick Jr. was in Independence Day and some stuff like that.
Memphis Belle.
right. Yeah, yeah. But nothing like huge. But
no, but we can't sit here and say J-Lo is a great actor and singer. She could probably dance. She danced her ass off, but she's not a good singer. Is she a great actor? I don't know.
She's done a bunch of films and Madonna has done a bunch of films, but
yeah.
But anyway, we're here to talk about the classy people of Christmas and not Madonna.
You know who's I love, and I just found that this year is Ray Charles did a Christmas album, and he does a version of Winter Wonderland, and it's just his voice and like charming of like Christmas bells. It's unbelievable. Let's play a little bit of it.
You put him on here, and I was going through the playlist this week to get ready for the show. I saw that on there, and I was like, I don't think I knew this one. And I listened to it, and then that led me down the rabbit hole of listening to a bunch of other Ray Charles Christmas stuff, and then that jumped into other just Ray Charles. And we were talking a little bit about him in the Real the World episode. I was like, man, the passion that you can hear in his voice is the way he sings. You're just like, man, like you know, anything, Hit the Road Jack. You're just like, Yeah,
he's so passionate.
Right. Sometimes I'm in the car and I'm just like, "Woo, man, he's getting after it."
If you can't get down with Ray, if you're in your car and you're driving by yourself and you're not like,
Yeah. Oh no, we were watching Plane, Trains, and Automobiles last weekend, yes. And when John Candy's singing Messing the Mess Around, right? Yeah, and I'm like, I'm standing in the living room, like I'm dancing like John Candy was.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go, Winter Wonderland.
Beautiful.
Tonight, walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown.
I'm not even like consciously. I'm like swaying back and forth watching, as I'm listening to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm watching.
It's just like that's just the reaction you have when you listen to Ray Charles. It's just
he was the
greatest.
Awesome. He was an original. He was the original. You know, I hate that that thing that people say. Oh, he's the GOAT.
The phrase.
It's so stupid, but he was then.
Yeah, he could do blues and soul and rock and roll and just it was like. Just whatever he was going to sing, he just stepped into it. Even again, we go back to the We Are the World. He had that little part and he just blows the roof off of it. Right.
He crushes it. They probably like, just be yourself, Ray. Just do your thing. And he was like, all right. You know?
Right. And just, you just uncork it and he just sends it. It's great. I do need to listen to more Ray Charles in my life.
Yeah. We should do a show about him one time.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. He has a great story. I mean,
he's another dude that has, like, we talked about maybe doing the gospel side of musicians. I mean, he had it, you know, he put out a ton of gospel albums.
That'd be a good show. Elvis Gospel and
Johnny Cash and Ray Charles, maybe just the three of them.
Show for 2024.
There you go. We already got the list going.
All right. I know you hate the album, the Chipmunks album, but I love it, dude. We had it on 8-track as a kid. You know, I think the guy who made Alvin and the Chipmunks was a master at recording. What he did was groundbreaking at the time. I know you don't think. I can see the look on your face. You know?
I think I've actually softened on this a little bit, maybe because as I've gotten older and my wife likes this song a lot, so I'm not allowed to turn it off when it comes on in the car, but I think we've listened to so much shitty Christmas music doing this show.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Right. It's moved so far down the list.
I chose another song to play besides the.
Okay. And great.
I picked a version of We Will Wish You a Merry Christmas.
All right. Let's hear it.
Love it. Come on, Bruce.
It's like what's playing in the waiting room of hell.
If you can't get down with the Alvin and Chipmunks Christmas album, you have this evilness in your soul. You are the Grinch.
I've told the story before, but the first year I was working in the music store, it was like, shit, it was like 1993. And somebody played that song over and over and over and over again. And I took the CD. And I broke it in half and I melted it back together with a cigarette lighter and I stuck it in the wall of the stockroom with a steak knife through the hole with a note on it said, never play this again.
Come on, dude.
I will say, technically, the fact that they have them sing, like the Chipmunks are singing and that Dave is singing in his normal voice and it's all put together.
For its time, it was different, you know?
Yeah,
How many albums they sell of that?
Yeah, I'm sure it was 1965. It came out and went to number 33 on Billboard. It just doesn't do anything for me, but I don't hate it as much as I did when I was a young man in high school, you know, as a 17-year-old.
It's a cult classic, bro.
Yeah. I said my wife likes it a lot. So, which is my wife absolutely loves Christmas movies, and we start like November. It is nonstop. She's probably in the other room watching a Christmas movie right now. And we're the ones, she's got the notebook where like where all the cool houses with Christmas lights are within like an hour drive of us. So she just loves going everywhere to see Christmas lights and shit like that. So
I'm with her. You know, I have a hard drive for my TV, and my buddy put all those old Christmas TV specials on, the claymation ones and the old things. They're really fun to watch this time of year.
We watched the Laurel and Hardy Christmas special every year on Christmas Day.
That is great.
The March of the Wooden Soldiers.
You know, I was watching this week and I had to put it on a playlist with Jimmy Durante doing Frosty the Snowman. He was like the host of the Frosty the Snowman special.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was the narrator.
Yeah. Yeah. His version of this is great.
Look at that frosty goat.
Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, thump, thump.
Over the hills of snow, Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
And with Frosty the Snowman, Christmas was always very merry indeed. You have a merry Christmas.
Now that I love.
He was the man.
He was great, dude. And he was an old like vaudeville singer. And you can hear that, like the way that the performance in that, the way he's singing.
Yeah.
He was great, dude. He was funny. And he made fun of himself. Dude, if that was out now,
they would censor him or something.
Right. You'd body shaming yourself.
Yeah. He was a great dude.
The Schnozola.
Yeah, they would shame him on just making fun of like a big nose, and the big nose club would come out and be all pissed off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he called himself the Schnozola.
Yeah.
But he would do like car commercials, like this car is really big, it's got room for my schnoz. It was great.
He had a nose for coke, I tell you. I doubt he never, you know, but I'm just saying his nose was made for it. What other special I love is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that one was great. That's when the Misfit Toys are in it, and the guy's like, I want to be a dentist.
Yes. You know? And, Hermie.
Yeah. I put a Holly Jolly Christmas from that special. Yeah,
that's Burl Ives. Here you go. I got some stuff on Burl Ives, but here's some Holly Jolly Christmas.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you...
Why don't we cancel him when he says, like, kiss her once for me?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on now anymore. This world is too weird for me, man. I can't do it. Which 2024 is going to be like.
Right. Great. What's next? Yeah. Burl Ives is another interesting dude. Like, just reading a little bit about him. Like, he was a singer. He played guitar. He was a radio host. He was an actor. And it's like, I don't know. Like, you never hear anything about him now.
Besides
he pops
this,
up singing this, right? Other than Christmas stuff.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's like these guys are all like, and like, 50 years from now, anybody's just going to remember Mariah Carey for that song. Nobody's going to remember like all the awesome shit she did back in the 90s.
Right. That MTV Unplugged album and all that other stuff.
It's just you get stuck in a gimmick and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Stuck in the gimmick is a great way to describe it. And it's crazy because it wasn't that long ago, right? I mean, the 50s were still 70 years ago, but rock and roll and modern music is not, you know, it's not a really, really old thing. You know, there's still people that were alive that may have seen Burl Ives. But
let's play some rock and Christmas music.
Yeah, dude. What do you want to hear?
Let's play Bobby Hines. What is it? Bobby Helms?
Bobby Helms. Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock. Right on.
Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing up those shoes of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
jingle bell time, and jingle bell time, dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's the ride.
Great. I love the clean, I love the really bright guitar.
Yes.
And that just kind of splashes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were so many different bad versions made of it. It's like, whatever. But the original version still is the only version I want to listen to.
I was reading that song got big, too, because it was like Dick Clark was playing it on American Bandstand a lot because it was one of the only Christmas songs that had the term rock in it. So it was getting played. People were dancing to it, and that really helped it take off.
Now, I think one of our favorite Christmas song, Bruce's, is Run, Rudolph, Run.
Love it.
Yeah.
By the amazing, legendary Chuck Berry, which we do need to do a whole episode on.
Run, run, Rudolph, cause I'm reeling like a merry-go-round. Said Santa to a boy child, what have you been longing for? All I want for Christmas is a rock and roll electric guitar. And then away went Rudolph, whizzing like a shooting star.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
He is the beginning of rock and roll. I'm like listening to his voice. It's like you automatically know it's Chuck Berry. It was at that time a different kind of voice. You know, it wasn't a country singer kind of voice. It wasn't a Motown kind of voice. It wasn't like an R&B kind of voice or any of that. It was different. It was, you know, it was rock and roll.
Well, you know what it also sounds a lot like is, check this out. Let me just listen to this. Little Queenie by Chuck Berry. It's the same music. Listen to this. I only play 10 seconds. It's the same music.
No, but that's all right. That's Chuck Berry, though. He takes the same chords. He throws them up. He takes them backwards. He, you know, takes them upside down. It's Chuck Berry rock and roll chords.
He recorded them both in the same session, too. So he was, did you know, he really? Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. Chuck Berry, man, is one of those guys you go back and you just start listening to and you're like, oh, my gosh, man. He wrote, again, much like Ray Charles, is so much great music. And he was so important in the early years of rock and roll. I mean, shit, he'll tell you he invented rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell you how important he is.
Oh, yeah. I always love to hear Keith Richards talk about him.
Yes.
You know, Keith Richards always talks about how he got punched in the mouth by him for touching his guitar. One more rocking song, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, dude. I've got some stuff on Brenda Lee. She's another one that you have no idea how huge she was. Like, I don't know much about her music. And she's the first woman that was in both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Country Hall of Fame. The Beatles opened for her.
Really?
Is how big she was. She had 47 top 100 singles in the 60s. Even though she did all this rockabilly music, which I love rockabilly music. I'm like, sure. I don't know a whole lot about her.
Yeah, I don't know anything about her but this song.
Yeah, here's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
That's Christmas to me, man.
I love it, dude. I love the I mean, that's a stand-up bass. It sounds like they're playing.
Oh yeah. That's definitely a step from rockabilly.
And I love the little hiccup in her voice, and we're going to do some Carolyn.
She's so cute. Awesome. Yeah.
She's still alive, and Billboard says she makes about $4 million a year off of the royalties of that song, which is like, good for her, man.
No, I hope she's definitely was set for life. God bless her. She's original too, you know?
Definitely somebody that when I was reading all the accolades she had, I was like, all right, I want to go back and I want to learn some more, read some more. And you know, this isn't the show to do all that kind of stuff, but I was like, all right, I need to listen to some more of her stuff and you know, love going back to the early stages of rock and roll.
You know, I found this year was a woman named Patty Page, and she has a song called Boogie Woogie Santa Claus. And I love it. I love it.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I know this one. Let me hear it.
Boogie Woogie Santa Claus. The Boogie Woogie Santa comes to town every Christmas day. He lives up in the mountain like a hermit in a cave. Never had a haircut, never took a shave. Boogie Woogie Santa Claus. Boogie Woogie Santa Claus. The Boogie Woogie Santa will boogie all your blues away.
Dude, that's awesome.
Isn't it, though?
I think that's like I don't some know. Big band.
Yeah, it reminds me of something of World War II.
Yes.
Kind of error. You know, like that big band kind of error.
So again, just as it's playing, I pull up her Wikipedia page. I'm like, all right, I don't know much about her. She's the top selling female artist of the 50s. She sold over 100 million records. She had 14 platinum singles between 1950 and 1965.
Wow.
And I don't, again, somebody else said, I'm like, man, I don't know much about her. They said that she was like before rock and roll, and rock and roll started coming out, she kind of faded out.
She definitely says rock, rock, rock in there.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right, and you're right. It does have like an Andrew Sisters World War II kind of vibe to it. But you can hear some like rockabilly elements in that too.
It's funny that you mentioned the Andrew Sisters, because I have them on the playlist too. And I think this version of Winter Wonderland is unreal. It's definitely that World War II.
Andrew Sisters are really cool. Yeah, here you go.
A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say,
I know we played the Ray Charles version earlier, but you know, this is just a different kind of, a different version, kind of different era, a different time.
I don't like the song The 12 Days of Christmas. I largely hate that song, but the version that they do with Bing Crosby, I do like a lot.
Oh wow, I don't even know it.
He there's just a part, the way he sings Five Golden Rings, it's just I don't know, we can whatever.
No,
let's look it up.
It's gonna come up. We're gonna talk about Bing Crosby one way
all
or
right.
the other.
We'll play it when we get to it, that clip. But yeah, dude, the Andrew Sisters, just when I hear that is an immediate flashback to World War II, and you know, I'm interested in American history. I love reading about it and pop culture at the time. And again, another band, it was like they were just really important in everything, with like helping people get through the war and all the stuff that they were doing. And the tight harmonies that they sang are just great.
I was in Washington last week doing some sightseeing, and we're talking about World War II. And let me tell you, the World War II memorial that they have there in Washington is unbelievable.
Super cool.
It is. It's like this huge water fountain. It's free and it's unreal. At this time, I want to thank all the soldiers, and all those guys, you know, serving around the world, keeping
absolutely
everything. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We just mailed a care package of like Christmas cards and stuff to some soldiers for my Boy Scout troop. We spent very an cool. afternoon making cards for soldiers, and we did something a couple months ago. We went to a veterans home near us, and we did like a flag ceremony for any of the veterans that were in the old age home. And it was very cool to be,
that's, you know,
we played taps and took the flag down and retired it. And the vets were saluting, and it was super cool. It was very touching. Was
that's really great neat. That you do that stuff, Bruce. You probably make those guys feel so great. You know, then that's what everything they deserve.
Well, that was a situation like the old age home. Somebody reached out to us and asked if we would come by and do a flag ceremony. It was like, I'd be honored
absolutely.
To. Just, absolutely. It's yeah, just, yeah. You know, my pleasure. Boy, being a Boy Scout leader drives me crazy sometimes, but we do some, we do some cool stuff. And I tried telling the kids that like that was something for charity or giving back that we actually you get to see and talk to the people that you're helping. Yeah. Right. Like you go and clean up like a trail in the woods. You don't like, OK, cool. But this was like the person that you did it for was like, thank you for coming and doing this and shaking your hand. It was like it was really, really made me feel really nice.
It's like you see these, you know, these gentlemen that are like older and like that. You have to remember those guys were badasses at one time.
Sure.
You know, they were like badass dudes and now they're, you know, old men. You know,
yep.
It's. You know, I'm sure they've seen a lot of awful things and been part of some amazing things.
I was just laughing because I was complaining about having to get up off my, I was sitting on the floor wrapping gifts yesterday. I was complaining how much my back hurt when I tried to stand up. And then you're like, compared to these guys, you know, it's just, yeah, if there's any military vets out there listening to us, man, we love you guys. And
yes,
we were both big supporters of the military. What do you want to hear next?
I want to hear Silver Bells by Brenda Lee.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
I love that song.
I was just thinking that part of the timelessness of some of these songs is, I think, the like the orchestral behind it, you know, like the strings and
sure.
all that other kind of stuff is just things you don't hear very often in modern music.
No. And like we got these headsets on and it's really picking up all the things, you know, we never really took appreciation and on these recordings.
A lot of music that you just, you hear all the time and you just don't spend the time to really focus on it. And you're right. It's, we say it every episode, is a completely different experience.
Yeah, there's some novelty songs out there. You know what I love is Nothing for Christmas.
I ain't been nothing but bad. I broke my bat on Johnny's head. Somebody snitched on me. I hit a frog in sister's head. Somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's rug. I made Tommy eat a bug. Bought some gum with a penny slug. Somebody snitched on me.
I had never noticed the guy.
I never
in the
heard
background.
That stuff. Yeah, that's great.
The guy goes, yeah, eat a bug. Ooh. I never noticed that before. It was cool.
Yeah. We have to play You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
You're a monster, Mr. Bruce.
That guy's voice, man, it was like, oh my God, there's no bottom to it. It just keeps going and going and going.
It's Boris Karloff.
The singer was Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yes, yes.
Karloff did like the narration.
Yes, okay.
Mr. Grinch of the animated series, but that guy Thurl Ravenscroft, he was in almost like every animated Disney movie ever made. Like it's some, like to some background, you know, he was in Mary Poppins and Lady and the Tramp, Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland. He narrates some stuff on a lot of Disney rides. I guess had a lot of, he was a voiceover actor like up until he died.
Oh, wow. I never knew too much about him. I always thought it was Karloff.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, man. He's like if James Earl Jones had an even deeper voice, just super cool.
Well, I'm learning things.
There you go. I'm here to educate and entertain. Right. I am the professor.
Yes. I think this is a good time to take a little break.
Yeah, dude, that sounds great. Why don't we take a break? And I'm going to go get some more eggnog, and we'll come back, and we got some more songs to play. We'll be back.
All right, stick around.
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. There's something for everyone on the beer list and the jukebox at McCusker's. It's minutes from the sports stadiums in Philly, making it a great place to stop by for a few drinks before or after a concert or a game. Come see for yourself why everyone from Philadelphia Magazine to Playboy has called it one of the best dive bars in the city. Visit them at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia or on Facebook. That's McCusker's Tavern.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
We know it's a really festive time of year for a lot of people, and most of us are spending a ton of time with friends and family. Heck, you might be listening to this right now in your car on the way to a Christmas party. But this time of year can also be really overwhelming to a lot of people. Us rock and roll fans, you know us, we got to stick together and take care of ourselves as well as each other. So just take a few minutes and reach out to a friend or a loved one. Just say hello and ask them how they're doing. You know, sometimes just reaching out can have a huge impact on somebody's life. And if you're ever feeling down, help is always just a phone call away. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at 800-273-8255. We love each and every one of you. Prisoners of Rock and Roll is also sponsored by Boldfoot Socks, and we are so proud to have them on board because they're just good people making a good product who do good. You know, fashion styles come and go, but a solid pair of socks absolutely never goes out of style. This episode is coming out right before Christmas, so if you're still looking for some last-minute gifts, you can head on over to boldfoot.com. Every single pair they made is made right here in America, and they've got dress socks, casual socks, athletic socks. And on top of that, 5% of the profits of every single pair they sell goes to help military vets. We love people who pay it forward, especially during the holidays. So as soon as you're done listening to this episode, pull out your phone or grab your laptop and head on over to boldfoot.com. Check them out. Tell them that the Prisoners of Rock and Roll sent you. That's boldfoot.com.
Walking in the winter wonderland, gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland.
That was Louis Armstrong singing Winter Wonderland. Thanks so much for sticking with us during the commercial break. I just played a minute of that because I was just enjoying it. So I just had this big stupid smile on my face. And
yeah, it was great. I was watching it.
Man, it's hard to see my smile in between the enormous Santa Claus beard I have these days. But
is man, that you, Santa Claus?
Again, he's just fantastic, man. Just what a treasure listening to him is.
Yeah, he's American treasure. Definitely.
And that's off the album Ella and Lewis Christmas with Ella Fitzgerald, who is another one like we haven't spoken about, I think, at all in the show. But again, somebody that just has such an amazing voice.
You know who reminds me of Christmas a lot is Rosemary Clooney. She was in A White Christmas. But yeah. She also did something with Gene Autry that I really like and I found this year was they did a version of The Night Before Christmas, like a song version of it. It's really good.
All right, let's hear it.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. All the stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in the hope that Saint Nicholas soon would be there.
Then what to my wondering eyes should appear? A miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer. A little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick.
And more rapid than eagles his...
That's cool.
Yeah, man, I've never heard someone put a song to that poem. Cool. I don't know. I came across it this year. I was like, you know, Gene Autry is known for the Frosty the Snowman and everything like that, but this is definitely something different to talk about.
I was digging that. Rosemary Clooney, totally one of those people that only pops up at Christmas time, you know, largely forgotten. Just you know, a lot of these guys are considered easy listening, which is just not a, it's not a very popular type of modern music anymore. But still good. I love, man, every year at my house, I personally listen to The Night Before Christmas being narrated by the old Phillies broadcaster, Howie Callis.
Oh, God.
Love it. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
He was one of my favorite. One of the reasons I'm a huge baseball fan, and it's on YouTube, and I fire that up once a year.
But, dude, how did we not talk about Darlene Love yet?
So to me, Darlene Love is, she is the queen of Christmas. It is not Mariah Carey.
No.
This is probably in my Christmas Baby Come Home, or Please Baby Please Come Home is in my top five Christmas songs of all time.
Flawless. That is rock and roll. I mean, I know it's a Christmas song, but man, so rocking.
Whenever I hear that, I'm instantly, I like can picture where I was as a kid hearing it, like being at my my whole mom's side of my family getting together on Christmas Eve. My mom grew up in a very working class part of Northeast Philadelphia, and we would go to my grandmom's house on Christmas Eve, and I'm immediately there. I can, the smells and the people, the lights and everything, it's a time machine.
And it reminds me of like those little parties you have in school right before Christmas, like that day before you get that day of when you get a half a day before you get left out, especially in grammar school. That's what reminds me of these songs, you know?
Same thing, like time machine, right? You're just immediately back. And if if I ever had to give a class and try to tell somebody or teach what the Phil Spector Wall of Sound is, that's the song I would show. That is it's a just clinical definition of that, the Wall of Sound.
You want to hear another Wall of Sound song?
I would love to.
The Crystals doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Phil Spector was a grade A crumb of a human being, but
yes, he was. But he made a great Christmas album.
Yeah, right. We can, shit bag of the week.
Dun dun dun.
But yeah, he could produce some great stuff. The Crystals doing Santa Claus Coming to Town. Here you go.
He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty.
great.
It's so good. It's a
dude. I just got a flashback of the scene in Goodfellas when they're like, "Don't spend any money. Don't spend any money." And they're playing the song in the background. Ray Liotta's bringing the big tree in and giving his wife like the Hanukkah money and shit.
It's a wonderful Christmas holiday memory. <Yeah. laughs> You said before we could do something on Phil Spector, like just as a producer without getting into the, you know, the murder he committed, but just.
Dude, he did that from everything from that to John Lennon to the Ramones.
Yeah.
You got to be a little crazy to do shit like that.
At some point, you got to separate like the dude from the artistry, because you can't. You can't just be like, oh well, he was a dirtbag of a person, which we're not debating that. But it's like you can't just dismiss what he did creatively because he was such a scumbag.
He was groundbreaking in the recording studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're right, and I associate that sound with Christmas stuff, I guess, as much as anything.
You know, I really like you put on this playlist was Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis is another dude that was you know what, dude? I was wrong. It wasn't Brenda Lee who was the third best selling artist of the 20th century. It was Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
Johnny Mathis has sold 360 million records.
Oh, wow.
So it was Elvis, Sinatra, and Johnny Mathis were the top three. I'm sorry. I thought it was Brenda Lee, and I had my notes wrong. But again, a dude who just only shows up at Christmas time. Doesn't your dad like Johnny Mathis a lot?
He loves Johnny Mathis. I cannot mention Johnny Mathis and not think of my father.
You're saying it quietly so he doesn't come storming down the stairs and go, "You're talking about Johnny Mathis."
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you about Johnny Mathis.
Here's a little We Need a Little Christmas.
Balls again fill up the stocking. I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Hasn't snowed a single furry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. Climb down the chimney.
I love Johnny Mathis. Heavenly is a great album. Great album, man. That was an album my dad raised us on. Yeah, it's very weak ballady. A lot of ballads. Yeah, great album. You also put Sleigh Ride on here. I love Sleigh Ride.
This was totally something like I had the song in my head and I was like, who sings that? And it took me a while to find it, but here you go. You'll know it when you hear it.
I love
that because they have the instruments like making the sounds of the horse, like the clopping and the whinny and the whip sounds. Just cool.
I love the instrumental. The instrumental is way better than like the vocal version. Definitely.
Yeah.
It took
me forever to find who the heck. I'm like, I mean, it's just like a, you know, like a pops orchestra doing it, but yeah, it's timeless.
Dude, how did we not talk about the King of Rock and Roll yet? Elvis Presley Christmas, baby. One of the greatest Christmas albums of all time.
Man, he's got Blue Christmas. He had a handful of like big time Christmas songs. But you put Here Comes Santa Claus on here.
Yeah.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed and cover up your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.
The best. Right? Am I wrong?
No, absolutely not. It's got every, it's not overdone. He's like not overdoing it, but the way his voice like drops and comes up and yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's amazing.
He's leaning into the persona of Elvis. And it's got that little like the line in there, like remind us that we're all God's children. Cause Elvis was like, was a very religious person.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, it's cool. It just, it captures Elvis perfectly.
There's a couple of songs left here, Bruce.
Yep.
Christmas is nothing without Andy Williams, bro.
Yeah. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Andy Williams.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties.
Do you remember the commercial, back to school commercial there was back in the day? And it was the kids going back to school and the parents all jumping up and down. They're playing this song in the background.
Yeah, I think so.
That shit was funny, man.
He's
That's
another
what I
dude.
Always think of.
He's another dude that when I looked up to him, I looked him up and I was like, oh my God, he had 3 platinum albums. And at some point he had more gold records than anybody in history other than Elvis Sinatra and Johnny Mathis. And I was like, I don't know anything about him other than his Christmas stuff. And then he had like a variety show.
Dude, time erases everything, bro.
It's a great, great point.
I mean, it's music just disappearing. And this is why we have to keep it alive, man.
Right. I guess especially when you have like streaming platforms and so many like thousands and thousands of more music coming out every day when anybody can produce something and release it. Right. And these guys just fall off the radar.
I got one more song for you, Bruce. And
all right, let's do it. Let's bring it home.
Christmas is nothing without Bing Crosby, Bruce. I'm sorry. I know we don't like him, but that's why I save him for last. Nothing. Christmas is nothing without White Christmas, brother.
I totally agree. He is another dude, man, that like I said before, some of these guys being multimedia stars, like he made over 70 movies. He recorded over 1600 songs. He was one of the biggest stars in the world. And I read an article from Music Digest. They said in 1948, 50% of all of the songs that were played on the radio were Bing Crosby songs.
Wow.
This is like amazing, right? It's like, holy shit. 50% of all the hours that they were playing music, half of it was him. Here's White Christmas.
Teardrops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
That movie is awesome. I mean, I watched it for the first time this month, and I always thought it was like this chick flick. But then I'm watching it. It's really this dude movie about the army and stuff like that. You ever watch it?
I have not.
Dude, you should watch it. We talk about the troops and how they come home and they have a hard time coming home. That's what White Christmas is basically about.
Yeah, I'll put it on my list. I'll check it out. Just in terms of Christmas music, there are a few things that are more timeless than Bing Crosby singing Christmas music.
I'm going to have a wonderful Christmas, Bruce. I hope you do, too.
I am, dude. I'm looking forward to it. We're recording this on the 13th, so we got like a week and a half left. We're winding down. I think I'm largely done my shopping, although I do have unwrapped gifts like all over the place in my office around me.
That's the way Christmas goes.
It is indeed. All right, dude. Let's let me go into the back end of the show. I only got a couple things, but here you go. I'll do some listener feedback first, some second thoughts. So the first one was Joe Roberts on Twitter gave us his top 5 Springsteen albums. He said Darkness, Tunnel of Love, Nebraska, The River, and Born to Run. Tunnel of Love was not even on my radar.
Yeah, Tone of Love's a great album.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I appreciate the guy giving his thoughts.
Thank you, man. Thanks for listening.
Right on, dude. And then we had an email from Jackie from Seattle. We love hearing from Jackie from Seattle.
Jackie, Merry Christmas. All right.
Merry Christmas. Here we go. Dear Bruce and MC Cusker. Yeah. Man, another banger episode. Bruce is the best.
He is.
I would like to shout out two of my personal favorites. One, Jungle Land Live at the Madison Square Garden, starring the late, great Clarence Clemons on sax. And two, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I'd also like to share that I've spent a lifetime going to a ton of concert films on the big screen. In early stupid COVID, I went to the Oak Tree Cinema in North Seattle to watch Western Stars, Bruce's barn concert. Imagine me alone in that dark, empty auditorium, crunching on my container of fortune cookies from the Asian grocer next door, enjoying all the great music. It was deeply moving. Like a prayer, truly. I highly recommend it. Then, flash me back to the earlier days of MTV when I would take sick days off of work so I could stay home and watch music videos all day. They played Dancing in the Dark a lot back then because it was such a mega hit. I did feel guilty, but it was worth it. Moving on, I have to tell you boys what a huge thrill it was having the Warden on the One Hit Wonders episode. So damn fun, he rules. Happy 3-year Podiversary and happy 55th anniversary to McCusker's Tavern. I've seen pictures of it online and it looks right up my alley. Thanks again for another fantastic episode. I'm really looking forward to your Christmas party episode. You fellas enjoy the holidays now you're here. Kisses, Jackie in Seattle.
Thank you, Jackie. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Right on. I wrote her back and was like, dude, it is always great to hear from you. And I shared with a couple Springsteen memories of my own with her. And, you know, Jackie, if you're ever out this way, please drop us a line if you're ever going to stop in McCusker's. Whether you want a cold beverage or a soda or whatever, the first one is on us. We would love to meet you in person sometime.
And we will make sure the Warden is there.
Yes. So, and I did send that feedback to the Warden, and I said I was at a Christmas party with him last weekend, and he was talking about how much fun he had being on our show. And he said to make sure that he thanks, we tell him thank you to Jackie in Seattle and John Tex. We read an email from him a couple weeks ago. Guy in Wisconsin wrote us in saying he enjoyed hearing the Warden. So the Warden has fans. We'll have to have him back sometime.
The Warden.
Ta-da! So then we also got an email from Donald Simmons. So we were doing some episode and I talked about the song Fancy Like by Walker Hayes and how much I hate it. And Donald wrote us in and he was like, I hate that freaking song. He said he almost broke up with his girlfriend because he hated it so much and she liked it. And I found out that Walker Hayes made a Christmas song where it's just the song is just called Fancy Like Christmas. And it's the same friggin' song. And he just added some jingle bells to it. So I sent it to Donald and I was like, oh, my God, did you hear this? And he wrote me back and he said, you want to hear some hilarious Christmas music? Look up a song by an artist called Wing called Santa Claus is on a Helicopter. It's a Korean woman. And I think she's actually trying to be serious. It's much better than Walker Hayes, though. I will tell you that. And he said, South Park did an episode with her on it. It's so funny. She's perfect for the electric chair. I'll play a second of this song. It was so bad. Yeah, I
know nothing of it.
Santa Claus on a Helicopter by Wing.
It's Wing. It's a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus on a helicopter. Santa Claus on a helicopter. Santa Claus, he visits us today.
We sentence you to death.
That's really bad.
Dude.
She's got albums out, dude. Here, you want to hear her sing Let It Be by the Beatles?
I was going to say she sounds like Yoko.
Yeah, it's really here. I can't.
Jesus. God. When so you thanks think for you can't get any worse.
I don't even know the AC/DC song that Donald referenced. I'll have to go looking for it. And apparently she was on South Park one episode.
That's funny.
But appreciated you sending that to us, Donald. Music news, man. I only had one thing, and that was about the punk band Social Distortion. So Social Distortion announced that they are hitting the road next spring with Bad Religion. Social D will be playing their 1983 debut album, Mommy's Little Monster, in its entirety to celebrate its 40th anniversary.
Wow.
They were supposed to do that last year, but they canceled their 2023 tour because the singer Mike Ness was diagnosed with tonsil cancer. So he's back, and they're going back out on the road. They're ready to kick ass. I can't wait for that show, man. I love them. They are my second favorite band after Springsteen.
Yeah.
You and I are going to that.
Oh, yeah, dude. I told you last night I'm off that night. So when you buy tickets, buy me a ticket.
We are going, dude. I know my kids are both really into them. We're going to go. Yeah. My wife loves them. Bad Religion is great, too.
Yes.
They also have an awesome Christmas album out.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to see them twice next year because the tour that they canceled, they're picking up in the fall. So I already got an email saying that.
Are they playing Starwood, Starland?
Yeah, up in the Starland Ballroom.
Maybe I can make that one too.
That's like in October, dude. Like the 13th or something. I'll look up the date. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, because I wanted to go to that one, but Fish was playing the same night. I couldn't make that show.
Yes, right. Yeah, we did talk about going, and you had Fish tickets that night. Yeah, dude, that'd be great. I love seeing them live. They're fantastic. So
yeah, Mike Ness is the man. I told that to his face one time, and he laughed. After the Pearl Jam show, he comes walking off the stage, and I'm like in back of the stage. I'm like, yo, Mike. He looks up like, you're the fucking man. And he starts laughing. Like real South Philly. Awesome. Like I said it to him.
That's fantastic. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah, dude, I know we already killed that Wing song that Donald sent us, but you got something for the electric chair?
I totally hate the 12 Days of Christmas, man. Like, totally. It's too long. It's dragged out. I never heard of any of the things that they say to the song do with Christmas.
Nobody wants any of that stuff, man. A lot of birds. Yeah, let's kill a version. How about Perry Como did a version of it?
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
You know what I mean? It's just lame.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Right, I don't want that shit.
Two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
You gotta feed the birds, you gotta clean them up after the birds.
You have some birds. You got chickens.
Three French hens. I do have chickens, but I don't want all these and all this shit. In a pear
tree. Oh, I hate this fucking song. Day of
Christmas, all right, it was get it.
We sentence you to death.
Who are we to sentence a Christmas song to death? We are awful.
Hey. Yeah, the song is too long and it just rambles on. I don't like it. Yeah, it's not my bag, but all right. Well, that is a wrap on episode 75. And this is also our last episode for season 3 of Prisoners of Rock and Roll. But don't worry, we're going to be back in early 2024. We already have a really long list of topics scribbled down that we're going to start working through. And if you need some classy, classic Christmas music to listen to while you're getting ready for that party or spending time with your family, we got you covered. We put together a playlist with all the music we talked about tonight, and there's a link to it down in the show notes. And you can go down there to find a link to our website, our social media, our email address, and directions to McCusker's Tavern in Philadelphia. And before we split, I just want to wish every single one of you listening to us a really happy holidays, and particularly to you, Ryan.
Thank
and
you,
your
sir.
Dad.
To you and your family, I hope you have a wonderful 2024, and we keep doing this and have a fun time.
I am going to have a wonderful 2024 because I get to talk music with you once every 2 weeks.
You're my boy. You're one of my bestest friends, my closest camaraderie dudes, whatever. You're my boy, kid.
I love talking music with you every 2 weeks. And it's funny when you said something, you know, a couple shows ago that we've been friends for almost 30 years. Oh. And so we still haven't run out of shit to talk about all music. Oh, so no. I will see you one day next week. Yeah. I said I'll shoot you a text and I'm going to run down to the bar and very drop cool. something off for you.
Everyone, so. Have a cool Yule and keep on rocking.
Ho, ho, ho. Peace out.
I'm just a prisoner.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.